I think this gospel passage is one of the most well-known scripture passages of the entire Bible. Probably the Lord's Prayer is the most well-known by everyone, and after that, perhaps, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then this one, not in the least because of all those times we saw it at football games, John 3:16. This is the verse that they're referring to. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Very powerful message from God. It may be one of the best known of the passages of Scripture, but I think it's one that, practically speaking, we have very little confidence in. I say that as I reflect on my own experience around death, around people who have died. I had a very good friend of mine. We worked together in Chile back in the 70s and 80s. I arrived as a newly ordained priest. She had been there for some years before that, and she was probably the greatest mentor I had in terms of finding my way as a young priest there. After I'd been there several months, I went to her and I said, Helene, give me some feedback. How am I doing? Well, by her hesitation, I knew that I didn't get 100%. But the one thing that I take away and I've remembered up to this day is she said, you know, you're very good at helping the people to know that God loves them. Let them know that we love them also. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, go to their houses, spend time with them, have a cup of tea with them, let them know that you love them, let them know that we love them. Very important person in my life. I was there when she was dying, not her actual day of death, but a couple days before that I went in, and she had been dying for some period, and when I went in, just about 2 or 3 days before she died, she asked me to pray with her. And so I prayed to Mary, saying, Mary, you were with Joseph and helped him to die. You are with Jesus and you helped him to die. I ask you to be with Helene and help her to make this transition now into the kingdom. She was very quiet after the prayer was over. And then she said, not so much to me, but just saying out loud, I wonder if God will be disappointed in me. And I thought, why would you ever think that? And she said, I just feel I could have done so much more. I wanted to say to her, I wouldn't have thought of it. I didn't think of it at the time. I would love to have said to her, Helene, God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that you might have life eternal. It has nothing to do with how much you have done or how little you have done. She was underestimating the great good that she had done. That was one experience that I found very powerful. Another was with my aunt, who was not concerned about her own death and salvation. It was about the death of my cousin, her son. His death was just before my ordination in 1985. He had been messed up in drugs for a number of years before this. And when he died, it was not clear whether he had accidentally OD'd or whether he deliberately committed suicide through overdose. My aunt chose to believe that it was suicide. And being the Catholic of her generation, just had that feeling that he cannot be saved. Suicide is the unforgivable sin. Unfortunately, our church propagated that teaching for a long time. We no longer believe that now. But that weighed on her heart. And there was very little that I could say to her that would convince her to let go of that anxiety about her son. What I should have said is, Aunt Fran, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save the world. It's nothing to do with what you accomplish in your life or mistakes that you've made in your life. It's because God chooses to love you and call you to himself. Frequently at funerals that I celebrate here, I will recall, especially if I don't know the person very well, I will recall the baptismal ceremony. Because as you know, there are several things that we do at a funeral mass that recall the baptismal ceremony. We sprinkle the casket with water. We cover the casket with the white cloth that represents the baptismal garment. And we have here right next to the casket the Easter candle. And I say, at the time of baptism, the child or the adult receives her own baptismal candle. And the priest says to her as she's being given that, "Receive the light of Christ. Keep this flame of faith burning brightly in your heart until that day when the Lord comes with all the saints to bring you into the heavenly kingdom." And so my question always is, did this person who's lying here, did she keep the flame of faith burning brightly in her heart? Did my friend Helene keep the flame of faith burning brightly in her heart? Did my cousin Thomas keep the flame of faith? Well, it depends what you mean. If you think that the flame of faith is getting to Mass every Sunday and keeping all the commandments rigorously, then perhaps you'd have to say no. But that's not the flame of faith. I think of the flame of faith as something that's very allied to what we heard in the first reading from 2 Chronicles. That recounts the story of Israel, who had lost God's favor. As Chronicles says, they heaped infidelity upon infidelity, and finally the Lord let them go into exile. And after 70 long years, the people of Israel are languishing there, and they say, "We have brought this on ourselves, and God has abandoned us. We'll never be able to work our way back into God's favor." And so God sends the prophet Isaiah to them, and Isaiah says, "Hear the word of God. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I honor you, and you are precious in my sight, and I love you." That's the flame of faith that each one of us is supposed to keep alive in our heart. It has nothing to do with how well you live, how generously you live, how lovingly you live. Please, God, you can try to do all those things and lead the best life you can. But what you need to hear over and over and over again is, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. You are honored and precious in my sight, and I love you." If we were able to take that seriously, and if we were able to take John 3:16, that God sent his only precious Son, not to condemn us, but to save us, that we might have life eternal, I think we'd have a very much happier time in these years that we're waiting for our entrance into the kingdom.